You're on. We're at Mashup Camp.
All right.
Tell us your story. What are you developing?
Chris Law and I are former founders. My name's Paul Martino, former founders of Tribe.net. And we're here at Mashup Camp talking a bit about our recommendations web service. We have a way where you can add Amazon-style recommendations to your website in literally a couple hours of work. And the thing that's really interesting about the way our system works is it's not just about books or it's not just about images. We can do things like, people who looked at this news story would like to attend this event. People who attended this event would like to join this group. It works across data types and across websites. And that's where it really gets cool. So we built a big collaborative filter across a lot of data types, across a lot of sites. We have our first commercial deployment at Zvents, Z-V-E-N-T-S.
So you were at the micro format session? Did you go to that one?
Yes, I was there. I've known Tantic for some time now. I call him the micro formats pimp, and he was out doing it.
So back up. So you and Chris co-founded this company?
Yes.
Chris Law.
Yeah, no. he runs a little blog called
A Thousand Flowers Bloom,
and he did a couple pod interviews. He met up with you guys.
Yeah, he's going to put him on PodTech.
Absolutely. And we were thinking about, wouldn't it be cool if things like social networking and collaborative filtering work not just in one portal, but across a whole set of sites? Let's get network effect. And so when we were doing our early pitches, a lot of people said, well, great. Well, what are all these websites? What are all these web services? And at the time, no one even had a directory of these damn things. And so we started this little site called WS Finder, which was a directory of all the web services that were out there. And he said, crap, why don't I start interviewing the guys who have web services and put the interviews up at Thousand Flowers Bloom.
Chris Law. Man. Hey, we're
there
on.
There he is.
We're on with the podcast at Mashup Camp, and we're talking.
All right.
How are you?
I'm doing great, sir.
Describe what's happening in your eyes, through your mind's eye and your eyes out here. What's happening for the folks? Explain to them what's
so
the dynamic.
I think here's the big lesson of Mashup Camp. As much as there's a lot of geeks here and doing the techie thing, Mashups have made technology accessible to a larger set of developers. You don't have to be a PhD computer scientist to do a mashup. I mean, you can be a dilettante programmer on a weekend.
Dilettante, okay.
No, but it's an important point because, you know, guys who have done some of the heavy lifting, let's say, to build the componentry are now saying, go ahead and use it. And now the more artisan gang can just compose them and make them look good. And a hardcore developers can sit down and expose neat features. And someone else who's much better at aesthetics and usability can go ahead and put all the pieces together.
It's changing really the developer community.
Right.
What you're basically saying is that the ecosystem or the evolution of natural software development is going to a whole other level.
That's right.
There's segmentation. There's some segmentation on skill sets and what people are doing.
That's right.
But yet rolling together into one package, environment, the internet.
Right. That's right. Well, we start with assembly coders and then C coders and then Java coders and then PHP coders.
Yep.
And now we can kind of be web services coders, which mean you don't need to know things about databases and assembly code and architectures.
Parsers and all that.
Right. You don't need to know about that, and you can write cool applications.
That's great. Any cool things you've seen so far that you want to share?
I saw something really very interesting. I saw the FlySpy stuff, which is just outstanding. The guy who started FlySpy basically got low-level technology licenses to all of the flight data, and he can show you a graphical representation of what the pricing market looks like for any plane ticket you want to buy. And you'll see the little graph where Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday it's expensive, and then Thursday and Friday it's less expensive. And he's a really awesome user interface to let you kind of understand what the market looks like for a particular trip. And like if you want to fly into San Jose or San Francisco, it'll show you, well, San Jose is one line, San Francisco is another line.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
And a lot of other people here experimenting with some stuff. You got some pretty kind of wacky stuff.
Right.
You got a labs group, Bungie Labs, saying, hey, we're going to pay prefabricated development environment.
Right.
A lot of different things, a lot of diversity.
Right. So here's another crazy one. So I'm on the board of a company called Zvents.
Yep.
They're an events web service. And I saw Eventful. And Eventful is nominally a competitor to Zvents. But they showed me Zvents data inside of Eventful. And I said, well, I guess that's what mashups are all about, right?
Yeah, work with your competitors and they don't even know it.
It's very interesting. I mean, the implications are interesting, not just from a technology standpoint, but from a business standpoint, from a business model standpoint.
Legal. I mean, Larry Lessig's going to be here talking about Creative Commons, what this, you know, how it could roll into from a rights standpoint.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the last thing I thought I was going to see was some Zvenz data over at Eventful. That's the new world to some extent. And a lot of questions. And it's going to be interesting to see what Lessig has to say. I met him a long time ago. I was involved in a company called Intertrust, which was one of the first DRM providers.
Remember that company,
back
yeah.
in the day. And, you know, I was on the panels sometimes being, quote, the bad guy to Lessig's good guy, because we were saying, look, you know, content providers need to have some interest in, content providers need to be at the table. And he's like, no, everything needs to be free to everybody. Well, wait a minute, if all the economic value goes away, then the producers might stop producing at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, the thing, it seems to be the model now is free gets you in the game, free is viral, free gets audience, free builds a community,
right.
And then kind of premium services. So, you
right.
know, obviously, with our podcast, for example, we don't charge for our podcasts.
Right.
We provide them free because, you know, never thought about charging them.
Sure.
But we're getting a bigger audience every day.
Right.
So maybe we can start advertising with some transactional stuff. I mean, that's one thing. But I don't know, what is going to happen with DRM? I mean, how does DRM fit into the future? Will it be hard-coded? Will one guy dominate? Will there be no DRM?
The problem with DRM is users hate it. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is DRM equals bad user experience. Because you're just assuming, I went to a website, I downloaded this thing, I want to listen to it. Oh, I want to listen to it on my cell phone, I want to listen to it on my computer, I want to listen to it at the TV. And DRM gets in the way of what you want to do with the content. So I think subscription-based models in the DRM space are the way to go. All you can eat of all the content you want for music for $20 a month. That's much better than $1 to download it to my iPod, and it can't go anywhere past my iPod. That's just not good user experience.
Yeah, it's very siloed.
Right.
So what else are you seeing out there in terms of trends, just high-level trends in terms of web services, mashups in particular?
Right.
We just had a guy from Semantic earlier chatting about the impacts to a siloed environment like the enterprise. I mean, unstructured is going to be the flat model for data structures, and you got legacy infrastructure out there like enterprises.
Right.
What are you seeing in all that?
Well, what's happening is it's very interesting, and it affects a lot of the business that we're doing right now. Companies with legacy systems in the back end are now having to figure out how to re-expose them in a Web 2.0 way. And so, sure, they might have some awful content management system in the back end. They might have some ridiculous inventory control system, but they want to have a really simple URL to be able to get to their content once it's exposed to the rest of the world. So the Web 2.0 idea of make it easy is forcing internal IT groups to clean up their outside face, which is exactly what all the mashup guys want, because it's easy to then write a mashup on top of it instead of integrate to my legacy CMS system that we built 12 years ago, spent millions of dollars with Accenture to do. Who wants to be in that business?
Oh, no, that's dead. You know, those models are dead. I mean, even look at the whole SAP, Oracle, old implementations.
Right.
I mean, hire 20 consultants to roll out a CRM system?
Right.
Now,
well,
and Salesforce, service now.
Hey, look, Salesforce, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated companies in terms of being a powerhouse technology provider and also an awesome platform. You know, Salesforce, sure, they're a CRM company, that's where they make all their money, but they have an arbitrary business platform that you can build killer applications on in a couple days. That is the model of the future, and I think there will be a consumer-facing Salesforce.com at some point. Someone, one of these guys, is going to end up being the platform for consumer web services. The Googles and the Yahoos and all are trying to do it, but I'm not sure that they're going to be the ones who win at that game.
We're here with Paul Martino at the Mashup, just with some amazing commentary on the industry. Good to see you again, and we'll get Chris Law on there. Thanks for the podcast.
Great. John, thank you for your time.